All right, everybody. Welcome back to the UPT Bound Podcast. This is episode 3. And today we're going to be talking about the AFOQT, the TBAS, and all the other great fun things that are going to help make your application look great. So today I'm joined by a co-host for the first time. It's my good buddy, John. Say hi, John.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy to be here.
All right. Yeah, John is a family friend. He's been friends with our family since I can remember. So what has made you decide to get into aviation and more specifically become a military aviator?
Yeah, that's a great question, actually. And, you know, I guess since it's kind of a two-part question, I guess I'll give you a little bit of a two-part answer there. You know, growing up, aviation's just always kind of been in my blood, I guess is what you could say. My father was a pilot, and, you know, ever since I was a little kid, you know, that's what I did. I flew. You know, like, he has some buddies, they go out on the lake and take the boat out and stuff like that. Well, we didn't have a boat, we had an airplane. So that's what I did. And so,
that sounds pretty nice.
Yeah. No, it was sweet. And so, I think Leonardo da Vinci said it best. He said, "Once you have tasted flight, you will forever walk the earth with your eyes turned skyward. For there you have been, and there you will always long to return." And so, that's definitely how I feel, and
that's got to be painful if you're always looking up. I mean, I'm sure you've had your fair share of run-ins with things on the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. So that, and also, my family, just throughout generations, has had quite the history with the military, and I guess a tradition might be the right word to describe it. Just with the involvement that we've had in the military. And, you know, just ever since I was a little kid, you know, I always knew I wanted to be in the military. Maybe not necessarily as an aviator, but, you know, maybe being like a Navy SEAL or, you know, just something cool like that. The military was always something I wanted to do. I was always playing G.I. Joe and everything with my brothers and whatnot. And so, you know, a career field where, you know, I can fly airplanes and be around that and also achieve that goal of being in the military. You know, I'm all about that, and so yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, to learn more about it.
Awesome, man. Well, you've come to the right place. No, I'm just kidding, but okay, all right. So, John, where are you on this path from, you know, being a little kid wanting to fly, wanting to be the next Maverick, the next Top Gun, and so where are you from the dream to actually becoming a pilot? Tell us a little more about yourself.
Of course. So, disclaimer, I'm 22 years old, if that helps, you know, put a gauge out for where I'm at for any listeners out there.
You're a youngin'.
I'm a youngin' to some others. I guess I'm already an old fart. I don't know. But, anyways, yeah, I'm 22 years old. I have just over a year of college done. I'm also currently enlisted in the Air National Guard, here at my home unit. And, I'm also taking pilot lessons. I've actually just completed all, requirements and certifications to, take my private pilot check ride. And so, like I said, my family's in aviation. My dad actually is my flight instructor, and so.
Wow, you're one of those lucky kids.
Yeah, for sure. My wallet sure was happy with that. So, definitely a blessing. But so I've been working on my private now for over a year. It's taken a little bit of time to get there, but just about time to take my check ride.
All right. So with you know, having taken some private pilot flying lessons and getting closer to your check ride, I mean, why do you still want to choose the military career, I guess, instead of, you know, does the commercial or civilian career not look that appealing?
You know, I wouldn't say that, just because I know how hard it is to fly. I know that there's challenges and tons of hoops that these guys that want to fly commercially have to jump through. It's a lot of respect for those guys that do make that career choice to, you know, stick it out and start from the bottom there with the airlines and you know, hopefully one day, like, I definitely foresee that being something I would be interested in the future as well. But you know, I think, you know, again, kind of going back to where I was as a kid, my dream was to be in the military. And you know, I'm still young, still not quite too ready to give up on that childhood dream, I suppose. You know, I see there's a lot of value, a lot of purpose, and it's one of those things that means a lot to me, being in the military. And it's something that I've enjoyed doing thus far. I've been enlisted now for just over a year, coming up on a year and a half, and I've loved everything about it. And that's kind of where I want to take my career in the future. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm assuming that, you know, it's more of a passion that you have for this.
Absolutely.
You know, it's your dream. It's something you're passionate about. And,
absolutely.
That's great, man, because, you know, aviation, whether it's going through the civilian route to get to an airline job, you know, or, you know, flying a bush plane or whatever it is you want to do, you need to be passionate about it. There's nothing about aviation that's easy, especially this road towards, you know, becoming a military aviator is definitely not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. You've got to be passionate about it. That's got to be what kind of helps drive you. But anyways, great info. I'm really glad you're here, man.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to be here again.
Good.
It's been an awesome podcast. You know, I've listened to the first couple episodes, and you know, I've loved what I've heard. So
I'm really glad to hear that, not just my mom is someone other than my mom is listening to this. So I appreciate
that. Of course.
Anyways, let's just kind of get right into the meat of this. We're going to talk about the AFOQT. You're going to talk about the TBAS. John has actually some questions for me, as he is, like he said, he's in his kind of finishing his first year of college and has a lot of questions as to where to go next. And so I'm just going to kind of turn the interviewing part over to John, and he's going to go ahead and cue those up for me. So
yeah.
Go ahead and fire away.
Yeah, sure thing. These are just a few of the questions that, you know, I've certainly thought of, and I don't know if any other listeners would, if they've thought of these as well, but, you know, I know with making that jump up to being an officer and to get that pilot slot, I'm sure, you know, there's, you know, you want to have a little bit of a resume. I'm sure, you know, you want to have, you want to be looking good.
For sure.
And, you know, I guess as far starting off with, like, education and that background, you know, are there, I know there's universities out there that are dedicated primarily to aviation, you know, such as, like, Embry-Riddle, and there's a lot of, you know, just state universities that have super prestigious aviation professional pilot programs there. And is that something that you think should be considered, you know? Is that going to be important for someone like me to pursue an education at one of those institutions?
That's a good question. I heard it best this way. This is from another podcast, but I've heard this actually several times. So when you're pursuing a career in the military, I mean, you guys, everybody knows to be an officer, you have to have a college degree in your hand. I can tell you from experience that the Air Force does not care what your degree is. If you want to be a music major and you're really passionate about music, go for it. If, you know, you want to be an aeronautical engineer, you know, go for it. The advice that I heard and that I kind of took to heart was choose a degree path that is your backup. That if flying did not work out, that tomorrow you'd be happy picking up a job, being able to do whatever your degree is in. So that's kind of the best advice I could give as far as that goes. I chose aviation management degree because I love the aviation field, not just in the military, but also in the civilian world as well. So that would be my advice to anybody else and to you is pick a degree that you're passionate about as far as, like, it could be a good backup and you'd be happy with it.
Mm. Yeah, you know, I tell friends and you know, and some relatives that I'm working on my private pilot's license and stuff like that, and you know, everyone's always a little bit shocked, and they always tell me like, "Oh my gosh, like I didn't know you were such an awesome engineer," or "Wow, like I didn't realize that you're like that good of a scientist."
And, have you seen those pictures of like, it talks about pilots and it says, you know, what my parents think I do and what I actually do and what my friends think I do, kind of? Yeah, that's kind of how people think. You know, you're an engineer? No.
Yeah. Yeah, I've kind of learned just to go with it a little bit, though. Like, oh, you're an engineer? Yeah, I am, actually. I'm a pretty smart guy.
Does it help you get dates?
Yeah, well, yes, yeah. Well, I don't know. Yeah, well, I'll be careful with that answer. Well, cool. And then I guess just going off of that, you know, I've heard a lot of talk about the AFOQT test, and I've heard it's the monster of all tests and stuff like that. So I would like to pick your brain about that. You know, what was that experience like for you, taking that test? And I guess specifically, like, what did you do to prepare to take the AFOQT?
Okay, good question. Once again, the AFOQT stands for the Air Force Officer Qualifying Test. And it is the test that all officer applicants have to take. Not only if you're going to be a pilot or a navigator or something on, you know, that relates to air crew, but all officers have to take this test. And it being called the monster of all tests, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. It's not the monster of all tests, but yes, it was pretty difficult for me because I had been out of college for a while whenever I did take it, and some of the material was kind of old. But basically, the test is, it's very much kind of like an ACT or SAT test, you know, mathematics, science, basic reading comprehension, stuff like that. And there's also, you know, there are a couple sections in there that do relate more towards aviation or piloting skills. So, yeah, I think, you know, how to prepare for it. I think I bought the study guide from Barnes & Noble.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there's study guides all over the internet that you could buy. You know, you're probably going to spend $12 to $20 to go ahead and study for that, but you definitely need to study. And I guess more importantly, I think, if I remember correctly, there's timetables. Like, there's time limits and restrictions in each section of the test. So they might give you, like, in one section, they might give you, like, 30 questions, but they might give you, you know, 20 minutes to complete it. And so the test is meant to stress you out, and more than, you know, picking right answers, which is important, they're really wanting to see how, the test is meant to measure how you do under stress.
Right.
So it's meant to stress you out and meant to kind of put you on a time crunch and see how you think. So, yeah, just go ahead and study. You know, I dedicated, I think, like a solid, like, I had nothing to do for, like, 2 weeks. And, like, for 2 weeks, I just studied my rear end off and went in there and took it.
Hmm. Yeah.
So.
And you said this was a test that you had taken following college. You already graduated. Or what was that timeline like for you whenever you took this test?
Okay, yeah. So I graduated college in 2018, and I think I took that test at the end of 2018, the summer. Okay. So I wasn't out of college that long, I guess. But some of the concepts on the test, like, you know, math, algebra, things like that, that I had not done since, you know, being in general studies at the university. So it'd probably been 2 or 3 years since I'd even talked about algebra. Hmm. So things like that took a little while to kind of, like, just a little brain dust, you know, a little refresher to kind of get that back and clear in my head.
Yeah.
But to schedule the AFOQT, if you're not in the military, so you're in the military, so basically if you are enlisted, you just basically need to go online and sign up for it. You can get yourself onto a base with a testing facility. You can sign yourself in and everything like that. It's just like as if you were going into work. You just sign in, you just go get on base. And if you're a civilian, like I was at the time, then you definitely need to have a sponsor to get you on the base, but you just call the base and testing facility. You just call them up and schedule your test, and that's it.
And is that the same thing with the TBAS? I've heard a little bit about the TBAS. I'm still kind of a little bit confused as to what that is really, but...
Okay, yeah. The TBAS, I cannot remember what it stands for the life of me, but I'm pretty sure it's like the basic aeronautical skills test. I don't know. I know I'm going to get some flack from that from some people, but anyways, what it basically does is it measures like some basic aeronautical skills. But more than anything, it's meant to test your multitasking ability. And there's not really a way to test for it. I mean, you can look it up on Google. There are some like flashcard little things that, you know, you can kind of go through, but it's kind of one of those things where you just kind of show up that day, and if you're having a good day, you're going to do good, and you're not, then you're not. But it's, they basically hook you up to a machine, and they hook you up to like a stick and some rudder pedals, and you kind of, it's like playing a video game, you know, and they'll give you certain tasks where you have to click on the right answer at the right time, and it's not anything you can really study for. It's just kind of a, you get thrown right into it.
Sure, sure. So is this something that you feel, that having some prior flight training, like a private pilot license or something like that, would aid you on in this test, or do you think everybody kind of has the same shot, the same chance going into it?
I'm going to say everybody has the same chance going into it. You definitely do not need a private pilot license to do well on either of these tests. However, if you do decide that, you know, based off of your research, that you want to fly in the Air National Guard or the Air Force Reserves, I would highly suggest getting your private pilot license before applying, or at least during the application process. Show the interviewers, the units, that you are interested in aviation by taking some flying lessons. Some units will not hire you if you don't have a private pilot license. And I've seen units that have hired people with, you know, no experience at all. So it really just kind of depends on the unit about what they're looking for. But I would highly suggest just to have it. I know it's a big expense, but if aviation is something you're passionate about, then I think you're doing the right thing by going and getting your license done.
Yeah, sure. And so now, you mentioned how some units, they prefer that you have a private pilot's license. Some don't really care too much about it. I guess my next question would be just about like the application process. Like, you know, how do you even get that started? And then maybe even prior to that, like, how did you do your research onto what units you even wanted to apply for? You know, was it, like, how does that whole process work, I guess?
Okay. Yeah. So basically how to get the application process rolling. You definitely need to have your AFOQT and your TBAS test done.
Okay.
Because, and your college degree, or at least being, you need to be within your like two semesters of graduating college and you can start to apply. So you don't actually have to be graduated yet,
You
need to be within the last year of college.
See,
yeah.
That's nice. I kind of figured it'd be after.
No, as long as you're a senior, you can start applying. Now, some units might not hire you yet, but it still gives you the good experience of applying to some of these units that are highly competitive.
Just getting your name out there.
Exactly.
And everything. Okay.
Making connections, getting to know people. Exactly. But the application, you could just... the best place to look is like go to that unit that you're interested in, go to their website, and usually they'll have a careers tab and they'll have, you know, a job posting. And if there's not, or if, you know, you can't really, you don't know which units to go look for, there's a really good website. I'm going to go ahead and give them a plug in here. And, but it's bogeydope.com, and you can look under the Air National Guard and Air Force Reserves, careers tab. And they will basically, they do a pretty good job of about posting just about every unit that is hiring out there. And they'll have links to their applications, and they'll have, you know, due dates as far as when their applications are due. So those guys are awesome. That's Bogeydope, spelled BOGIDOPE.com. But yeah, they're pretty good. And then you need to, you know, put all your GPA and your, just follow the prompts as far as, you know, what the application says they want. Go ahead and give them everything that they want in the order they give it in. And we'll have another episode probably later on about more in depth about the applications, about how to make them and how to send them in and all that process goes. But yeah, you just you can go to the, you Google the unit that you're interested in, or you know, go to that Bogey Dope website, and those are usually pretty, some pretty good resources.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to check out that that website. That sounds fantastic. And then going into my last question here, you know, how do you do it? I mean, teach me about the magic you got, man. I guess just how do you not lose focus or lose hope through this process? You know, I've known Jordan a while, and I know it was a long process for you to, you know, land this job that you have, and you know, it's got its ups and downs for sure. And so any advice there on just how to stay focused and really just to push through the grind whenever the going gets tough?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if, you know, I pushed through necessarily or if I just am a little bit like half crazy. I think you have to be a little bit half crazy because it is crazy competitive. I've got another really good friend of mine, and he's been in the chase for a while now, and he only wants a fighter pilot job. That's all he's applying for. And so, I mean, he's been going at it for a while, and I know he's got some stories as well, but it can be daunting sometimes. And you just really have to, you know, kind of going back to what you were talking about, how you want to be a military pilot, you know, it's all about passion. You know, you have to be passionate about it, because when you do hit those ups and downs, you've got to have something there that you got to hold on to. And you know, just put your nose to the grindstone and just keep going hard every day. You know, do something every day. You know, you may not be able to do much, but even if it's just making one phone call to somebody, you know, you gotta do at least one thing every day. And YouTube's great too.
Yeah.
I love watching YouTube, flying videos. So if I'm ever like, what the heck am I doing? I love to go on YouTube and watch some stuff. Watch some people doing some good flying. So.
Just rekindle that fire, right?
You got to keep that fire kindled, man. You got to, it's all about passion. You just got to keep that passion going.
Watch Top Gun a time or two.
Hey, I probably, yeah. Top Gun's a great one. If you don't like Top Gun, no, I don't know, this might not be for you. Iron Eagle.
Yep, that's a classic right there.
I don't know. If you guys haven't seen Iron Eagle, you have to go check that out too. But, cool. Well, John, thank you so much for the interview. Thank you for being here and, you know, giving us your time. And I've got one question for you.
Let's hear it.
If you could choose any airframe, what would you choose?
Oh, man.
And why?
Man, that's a tough question, you know? It's like asking me, like, do you want the cherry red Corvette or do you want the matte black Ford Mustang? You know, that's a tough question, but, you know, my unit, we fly fighters, we fly the F-16, and, I see those every day. I see those things just, I hear them, you know, they're loud as all get out, and, I look up and that's what I see every day. So I think definitely the Viper is an awesome aircraft. It's a one of a kind, and it's pretty sweet. But oh man, I kind of got to give it to the F-35 a little bit. I mean, that thing is just a freak of nature.
Ooh, we won't tell anybody about this.
Yeah. Don't tell any of my buddies I said that. But you know, it's the airplane of the future, and just the capabilities and the versatility of that aircraft is just. It's incredible. So
second to none, pretty much.
Second to none. But you know, honestly, like, I'd be fortunate enough to fly anything that can get me to the skies and off into the wild blue yonder, as they say in the Air Force. You know, I'm all about it. I'm just gonna try and get there.
Well, that's great, man. That's great. Thank you again for your time, John, and for all the effort that you put in trying to get with me here.
Oh, for sure.
Kind
for
of
sure.
Crazy with our schedules a little bit, so. Yeah. Glad we were able to finally make it work out.
Yeah, glad we could make it happen. Thanks for having me on the show, Jordan. And, it's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. All right, guys. You know, we're going to go ahead and wrap up episode 3 here of the UPT Bound Podcast. I have not done this in the past, but I'm going to do it this time. I'm not going to forget. If any of you have questions or comments, please leave me some feedback at uptfeedback@gmail.com. So look forward to hearing some of you guys' comments, some of you guys' questions, and we'll try and answer those here on the podcast. So with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up, and we will see you guys next week.